I'm going to get rid of Zoom. I don't know what Zoom is. I want to forget what Zoom is. So, welcome. Hello. Hello. That's exciting. Starting a new series. Wednesday evening, 7:30. This is wonderful. So, this series is Hilchot Shabbos. Introduction to Shabbat. Julie, you're more than welcome if you want. I don't want to. All right. So, welcome to Hilchot Shabbos. I really didn't have a better title to this series. But it's going to be fun because we're going to dive into so many interesting topics and details and halachot and sources and trying to understand what are we really doing on Shabbos? Why are we doing it on Shabbos? Why are we doing it differently than how we do it on Shabbos? Now, many, many things are going to happen in this series. I don't know yet how long the series will be, 5, 6 classes. Depends on our how much we're going to talk about in those classes. Obviously, we're not going to be able to cover the entire topic, obviously, but we'll try to give a glance on this and that as much as possible. Today, I will start with an introduction to Shabbos in general, and we will dive into the first thing we have on Shabbos, which is candle lighting. So I'm glad there is two women on the woman's side for that, but it's also relevant to us. So don't worry on that. Don't worry. There are three women on that. Thank you. Don't worry for that. We will we'll make it relevant also to the men here in the as well as for myself. This is what's going to happen today. So you know what? Let's roll. You all have sources. There's a decent amount of sources for today's class. We'll try to cover as much as possible. Don't worry, we'll be fine. We'll be informative, and we'll and please ask questions. You know, as much as you have, just the popcorn, whatever that is, just pop up and ask the question if you have. Don't worry and challenge me as much as you have. Also, I want to say, please don't take from, although this is an halachic course, please don't take from this course, from this series, from any class, any halachic kind of practice. Even though some of what I say is going to be from Shulchan Aruch, I see you're laughing. It's just part of the policy. I'm not a posek. I'm not going to tell you what the halacha is supposed to be, unless you can read it from yourself, and then you know what the halacha is. So you don't need me, you don't need anyone else. That's the ruling of this thing. I'm not going to say anything that is not halacha, so don't worry about this one in that case. So what is Shabbos? What is Shabbos? We all like Shabbos. Shabbos is the day we all love to love, right? This is Shabbos. We're on Wednesday. We know that on Wednesday we start preparing Shabbos, at least some of us. I don't know who went shopping today for Shabbos. Some will do it tomorrow. Start cooking tomorrow and on Friday, whatever. That's a long Shabbos. But we like Shabbos. We like preparing for Shabbos. We're sad when Shabbos is over. But what is really Shabbat? What is Shabbat standing for? Why do we have Shabbat in our Jewish calendar? What is the importance of Shabbos in our Jewish life? So first of all, I'm opening with the most obvious source that you can think of. Source number one, source that many of you probably can say by heart, because we say it in the Kiddush every Shabbos. Vayechulu ha-shamayim v'aretz v'chol tzeva'am. Vayechal Elohim b'yom ha-shvi'i melechto asher asah. God created the world in 7 days. And in the seventh day, he actually didn't create anything. He created the world in 6 days. But on the seventh day, he decided he wants to rest. This is very weird. Why does God need to rest? Put that question in your mind. Vayishbot b'yom ha-shvi'i mikol melechto asher asah. Vayivarech Elohim et yom ha-shvi'i v'yekadesh oto kivo shabbat mikol melechto asher bara Elohim la'asot. Shabbos is the day when God rested from creating after 6 days of work. He worked very hard. You can see surrounding you how beautiful the world that he created. He needed to rest a little bit, like all of us, to take a snaps on Shabbos. So he decided, let's create this system called the Shabbos, where on the seventh day, he, God, will rest. We just started. Don't worry. You didn't miss anything. Just the Kiddush. So, first of all, Shabbos is for us the memory of that day, that even if a Kadosh Baruch Hu rests, there's sources over, where's the sources? Terry, sources over here. Next to Ira, the sources to Terry.
Oh, yes.
Right here. Sorry. So first of all, Shabbos is for us resting just like a Kadosh Baruch Hu rests. But why did a Kadosh Baruch Hu need to rest? This is God. God can do everything. We don't need to talk about it. What is this thing that we say God rested on the seventh day? What is it exactly? Look at the Mechilta, the Midrash from Parshas Yitro in source number 2. Does God really get tired? This is what the Midrash asked. How come God gets tired? Maybe he is, maybe he's not. It is not already stated the Lord is God from off old, creator of the earth, from end to end. He never grows faint or weary. Yishayahu the prophet is saying that. How come we say that God needed to rest? Not only that, but he actually gives the weary strength. And it's written, he gives strength to the weary. We say it also in our bracha, every bracha. We say, Anoten layev koach. We say that. So how come? Why then does it say he rested on the seventh day? It is though God declared that he created his world in 6 days and rested on the seventh. It's important for us to understand that when we say days, we don't mean days like we refer to. We need to understand that. For example, the sun and the moon, which this is the way we understand what day is, the days, 24 hours, 12 hours and 12 hours of the moon, 24 hours in general, the sun and the moon were created according to Torah only on the fourth day. All right, so when we say day in our world, and when the Torah says day, and when we say to rest, and when the Torah says to rest, it's not the same. That's a concept of resting, because we have 6 days of work for us in our world, and God wanted to give to us the opportunity to have a day off, so we can rest and do with that what we're supposed to do. Not do everything we want, because there are halachot, as we will see, but that day is meant for us as a memory to commemorate the resting of God. But not only that, because there is two aspects on Shabbos. The first aspect is this. God rested on the seventh day. But what is the second aspect that we have on Shabbos? What is the second aspect? What does Shabbat stand for? Who knows? Say Kiddush, right? Everyone say Kiddush on Erev Shabbos. What do we say on the Kiddush? Say in source number 3. The Kiddush says, ברוך אתה השם אלוקינו מלך העולם אשר קדישנו במצוותיו ורצה בנו ושבת קודשו באהבה וברצון הנחילנו זיכרון למעשה בראשית. This is a reminder of the work of creation. But then we add something also. כי הוא יום תחילה למקראי קודש as first among our sacred days זכר ליציאת מצרים. It is a reminder of the exodus from Egypt. What does the exodus of Egypt has to do whatsoever with Shabbos? Shabbos, we just saw, that's the seventh day that God didn't work. He didn't create the world. He finished. He rested. What does the exodus from Egypt, Yetziat Mitzrayim, has to do with Shabbos? What is this? So look, please, on source number 4. Because in source number 4, which some of us add as the beginning of the Kiddush on the day, this is actually the connection between Yetziat Mitzrayim and Shabbos. It says, Zachor et yom ha-shabbat lekodesho, remember the Shabbos day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Shabbos of the Lord your God. You shall not do any work. You, your son or daughter, your male or female slave, or your cattle, or your stranger, or the stranger who is within your settlements. The Shabbos that started with being the seventh day where HaKadosh Baruch Hu rested after he worked for 6 days and created the world, turned after the exodus of Egypt to be something that is becoming human. Shabbos has two sides to it. First of all, the creation side. We are trying to resemble God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as much as possible. But there is also another aspect, and this is us understanding that the idea of any Jew and every human being is freedom. Just like we tasted the taste of freedom. We know we celebrate that on Pesach. We tasted the feeling, the taste of freedom when we went out of Egypt. Same thing is for Shabbos. Shabbos is our weekly exodus of Egypt. We know we commemorate this thing, the taste of freedom, because this is the ideal. And we know that we see the prophet say that eventually, in the days to come, when the Geula would be and everything would be perfect, it would be an endless Shabbos. Because what does it mean, an endless Shabbos? It doesn't mean we're going to have scotch and whiskey every morning at 12 a.m. Barry will take care of us. It means that we will be free. We will feel the taste of freedom as much as possible. This is for the two aspects of Shabbos. First of all, the creation, the seventh day of creation, and also the taste of freedom, just like we went out of Egypt. And it comes, as we saw, to express in the Kiddush that we say both at night and at day. There's also another aspect of Shabbos, which is of the Shabbos, which is very, very important. This is in source number 5. The Torah in Shemot 31 says as follows. Source number 5. Nevertheless, you must keep my Shabbatot, for it is a sign between me and you throughout the ages. The Shabbos is a sign. That's a covenant between Am Yisrael and God. How come? That you may know that I, the Lord, have consecrated you. You shall keep Shabbat, for it is holy for you. The Israelite people shall keep Shabbat, observing Shabbat throughout all the ages as a covenant for all time. It shall be a sign for all time between me and the people of Israel, that in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he ceased from work, was refreshed. How come this is a covenant? What makes Shabbat to be a covenant between Am Yisrael and God? So the obvious answer would be just like what we said. First of all, we remember the fact that God created the world. We're not saying the world was created out of nothing. We know there is a creator to the world, and we say it. We validate this statement every week by observing Shabbos. This is what by observing Shabbos we say. We know there is a creator. We know the creator created the world in 6 days, and he rested on the seventh day, and that's why we rest. This is a covenant, and this is the way we express this covenant between us and God. But the covenant has two sides. So what did the Kadosh Baruch Hu said on the covenant? He gave us a day where we can feel real freedom. We know that on Shabbos we're almost like angels. In the level of angels, we feel the freedom. We feel we have an neshama yeter. We have an extended soul on Shabbos. We know that the feeling of Shabbos is not like in any other weekday. That when Shabbos is over, maybe not in a summer Shabbos, we're very long, but on a winter Shabbos at least, when Shabbos is over, we feel we lost something. Every Shabbos, every day, every week in our lives, again, over and over and over again, we still feel we lost something when Shabbos is over, even though we know it's going to be the same thing exact one week later. Yes, Ira.
Okay, so Shemot 20 and Shemot 31 are mitzvot, because they're directive. But is there a directive that for Shabbos we're saying apparently that you should or you must either... discretionary,
yes.
Mandatory.
Thank you for asking.
Say a prayer over wine and bread or challah?
Yeah, not to say a prayer over wine. We'll talk about it in a minute. This is exactly the thing that I'm leading to. What is the halachot of Shabbos? What are we doing? We know that's a covenant. We know there's two aspects. What are we doing? How do we make this something that is pragmatic? And what is the sources of all the practical things that we're doing on Shabbos? That answers your question. We're going to dive in a minute. That's fine? Yeah? We'll see. We'll see in a minute. Also, there is a wonderful medrash also in Masechet Beitza in the Talmud in source number 6. It was just very, very, very cute. In source number 6, the Talmud says, I have a wonderful gift in my treasury, and its name is Shabbos. I wish to give it to Israel. Go and inform them. This is what the Kadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu on Mount Sinai. I have a gift. That's a gift. We couldn't handle without the Shabbos. We could still work. But that's a gift. The Kadosh Baruch Hu said, you know what? You're getting a Torah. You get a bonus of a Shabbos with it. Why not? 1 + 1. Maybe you'll come back and ask for another Torah. And this is what we did. That's why we have two Luchot. All right. So let's open Hilchot Shabbos. Let's try and understand where does Hilchot Shabbos derive from. What exactly, how can we try and structure what exactly are the Halachot in Shabbos? Because in our mind, it makes, for me at least, it's a little bit of confusing. What do we do? Why don't we do? We need to rest, but we should not do melacha also. What is the difference? What should we eat? What is the kiddush? What is the lighting the candles? What is avdallah? What should we do? What should we do? How do you make tea on Shabbos? How do you, what should you do with food when you put it on the hot plate, when you take it off the hot plate? There's so many questions deriving from Shabbos. Where is it all starting from in the Torah? Because you're not going to find in the Torah anything that it says, you should eat chult on Shabbos. There's nothing like that in the Torah, so why do we eat cholent? What happened within our tradition that made Jews eat cholent on Shabbos? What happened? We'll see all of those in this series, but first we need to understand the root of the halachot. All the halachot derive from two psukim, two verses, the entire halachot of Shabbos. All the rules and instructions are deriving from two psukim. First pasuk appears in the first parsha in Yitro, where we have the first Ten Commandments, Aseret HaDibrot, where we're first being introduced to Shabbos as part of a mitzvah. And this is in Parshas Yitro, where the Torah says in source number 7, the first line, Zachor et Yom HaShabbat Lekadsho. Remember the day of Shabbat to sanctify it. This is what the Torah says. This appears on Luchot HaBrit, on the Ten Commandments. But we have another parsha, again, that repeats the Ten Commandments. And this is in Sefer Devarim, Deuteronomy, in Parshat Va'etchanan. And then, in Parshat Va'etchanan, for some reason the Torah changed. One word has the same comment, the same, I would say, a mitzvah of Shabbos, but just with a slight change, we'll form one word. Instead of remember, the Torah says in Devarim, in Va'etchanan, in Parshat Va'etchanan, it says observe. Shamor, the day of the Shabbat, to sanctify it. Now the sages, Chachamim, Chazal, were trying to understand what is the difference between the Aseret HaDibrot, the Zachor in Itro, and the Shamor that appears for some reason in Devarim. How come there's two different words? There's supposed to be only one commandment. We didn't get it twice, was different. It didn't change throughout the Chumash. What happened? So the Gemara says in Shavuot, something that we sing every Kabbalat Shabbat, that's how we open Lecha Dodi, the Torah, this is a source. In source number 8, Zachor v'shamor bedibur echad ne'emru. Zachor, remember, and shamor, observe, were spoken in one utterance, in a manner that the human mouth cannot say, and that the human ear cannot hear. We say it every Lecha Dodi, shamor v'zachor bedibur echad. We say it every Shabbos. The original text, the original source of it, is this Gemara, where the Gemara is saying, why do we have two different words? They were actually said at once, in a manner, in a way, that a human mouth could never say two words at mouth at once, and that human ear will never be able to hear two words at mouth from the same person at once. And that's why we understand from that, and Chachamim, our sages, understood from that, from the fact that we have a duality of Zachor and Shamor, that the entire halachot, mitzvot, of Shabbos are divided into two. There is the group of Zachor, and there is the group of Shamor. The group of Zachor are of remember, of commemorate. The group of Zachor are what is called mitzvot aseh. Mitzvot aseh are the positive mitzvot, or the active mitzvot. The things that we need to do in order to commemorate the Shabbos. For example, Kiddush. We make Kiddush. This, in that way, we commemorate, we remember the fact there is Shabbos. We, for example, something that is active we're doing, we are resting. Someone is actually sleeping on Shabbos afternoon. He is performing a mitzvah. Good for you. You're all very good in mitzvot, probably. But if someone sleeps on Shabbos afternoon, he actually performs a mitzvah. This mitzvah is an active mitzvah. That's a mitzvah that is, I would call it, positive, active mitzvah. And this mitzvah belongs to the group of the Zachor. And we have another group, which is the group of Shamor, observe the Shabbos. And those are the group of mitzvot that are lo ta'aseh, the negative, which is the passive mitzvot. The thing that you should not do on Shabbos. For example, you should not cook on Shabbos. You should not light fire on Shabbos. In that group of the things you should not do on Shabbos, we have what is called Lametet Avot Melacha, the 39 mothers, I would say, or groups or sections of Melachot, of things that we are not allowed to do on Shabbos. I'm not going to dive into it in this class. We will talk about it, Bezrat Hashem, on the third class. That's my plan. We'll see if we get there. But there are the things that we should not do on Shabbos, we're not allowed to do on Shabbos, are they belong to the group of the Shamor. So we have the Zachor group, all the mitzvot that are positive, all the mitzvot that are active. Think about everything that is active you're doing on Shabbos belongs to the group of Zachor, and all the things that are passive, the things we should not do on Shabbos, for example, don't go to work, or for example, don't burn on fire, don't cook, don't work your fields, don't do everything that we should not do on Shabbos, don't drive your car, whatever, I'm not saying. This belongs to the Shamor part of the Shabbos. Yes, Ira.
I was just wondering if I'm going to burn this, but this all harkens back to the Ten Commandments, where you have five positive precepts and five negative precepts.
Yes, exactly.
It's a constant in Judaism.
Exactly, that's right. We have the distinction between the positive do and don't do, or do not, which is I would call it the passive. It's like Lotus. Don't do. Don't do, you'll be fine. You don't need to do anything not to do something. Just don't do it. You'll be fine. Just be passive. All right? That's active and passive. I will call it like that. So, we need also to understand that the halachot of Shabbos don't start with Shabbos. The halachot, the mitzvot of Shabbos, the thing we should do on Shabbos or not do on Shabbos, start not on Shabbos, they start already on Wednesday. We're right now on Wednesday. We can now perform a mitzvah that can apply for Shabbos. For example, going shopping for Shabbos. Did you know that going shopping for Shabbos is a mitzvah? You're actually performing a mitzvah. You and your bank is very happy for that, probably. Or your credit card is very happy you're going to shop for Shabbos, but that's a mitzvah. For example, not taking the Shulchan Aruch, the Gemara is actually talking about it, not taking a sailing a boat on Wednesday where you know it's going to extend into Shabbos, for example, which is something that is also, if we're not doing it, we're fine. We're very good. We didn't do it. Or it's like taking a plane where you know you may be going to be delayed. If you're going to be stuck in an airport, it's going to be Shabbos. That's also something that we can apply to our world of mitzvot that start before Shabbos. Friday, Yom Shishi, is an entire list of mitzvot for Shabbos. Baking challah for Shabbos, for example. That's a mitzvah. Going to buy new clothes or taking a shower. Shaving, if we're men, if we're trying to get more well-prepared for Shabbos, we're performing mitzvot. So the mitzvot of Shabbos start all the way, already on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, all the way to Shabbos. It's a huge system in mitzvot. It's one of the most complicated sections of halacha to study. Every rabbi that is learning to learn, become a rabbi, he has many tests, but one of the tests is only on Shabbos. The entire test has no more topics than Shabbos. It's a huge test on Shabbos with many, one of the most complicated ones is on Shabbos because there's so many difficult questions that you're not, everything has a question that is related to Shabbos. Everything has something related to Shabbos and it's very difficult. And it's also before Shabbos and also after Shabbos, Havdalah. What can you do after Havdalah? Melav Malka, which is the fourth seudah that sometimes people do after Shabbos. And so, well, and so it goes on and on and on. So in order to start and understand what is exactly candle lighting, we need to ask a question. The question is, when exactly does Shabbat begin? Now, I brought in your pages. Just take a look on the last page. Take a look on the bottom of the last page. I'm sorry, Michael, that I'm going to do it in public. But on the bottom of the last page, over here, there's a picture. It says, Shabbat times, Erev Shabbos, Friday night. 6:50 p.m. Mincha Maariv, 7:02 earliest candle lighting, 8:16 latest candle lighting. In just three lines, there is material for me for a week of classes. I have to tell you, what is earliest candle lighting? What is latest candle lighting? Why 8:16? Why 7:02? Why not 7? Why not 8? Why do we have two times for it? How come we start Shabbos when the sun is still rising outside and it's not? We know that the day in Judaism starts from the night. How come we make Shabbos very early? What should we do with candle lighting? A woman can light up the candles, but she wants to drive to shul, for example. Can she do it? What can she do if she wants to? It's not Shabbos yet. Should I accept on myself Shabbos when it's early? What should I do with all those kind of questions? So first of all, I want to introduce what is called the halachic clock. The halachic clock, which is in general being defined in Masechet Brachot. That's many, many, many pages in the Talmud of Brachot discuss this. That Judaism has what is called the different and halachic clock, which works very different than our regular daily clock. We know that the clock has, we know that in we have 24 hours, and we have 12 hours of daylight, or around 12 hours a day, and then 12 hours at night. We have a.m., p.m., we know we move the clock, we have 60 minutes an hour. It's very easy. It doesn't matter if you're in the summer or in the winter, you know that 2 p.m. is 2 p.m., and 3 p.m. is 3 p.m., and 3 p.m. would be exactly 60 minutes after 2 p.m., and there is no problem. You can schedule a meeting with someone at 3 p.m. in July, and you can schedule a meeting with someone at 3 p.m. in December, and you know you're going to be at the same time, 3 p.m., you're just moving the clock twice a year. That's very simple. But the halachic clock works differently. We need to understand that it developed in time where they didn't have the watches we have today, and they had to trust what they saw in their eyes, which is the sun. If it was sun outside, it was day. If there's no sun outside, it's night. It doesn't matter if for us we call it 5 p.m., we call it 4 p.m., maybe it's 4:30, there is already sunset. 5, we're in the winter, there's not many hours of daylight. They knew that when they see the sun outside, it's day. When the sun is set down, this is night. And the halacha had to develop a watch, a clock, a system of timing that can represent the hours of day, of the daylight, so we can know exactly when we should perform our mitzvot. Most, among all, the first thing that we had to do, we needed a clock to, is for the korbanot, the sacrifices in Beis HaMikdash. We had to know when do we sacrifice the sacrifice of the morning? When do we sacrifice the sacrifice of the afternoon? When is afternoon? What is afternoon in Judaism? How do I know what is afternoon? When is sunset? When exactly? How can I calculate when that is? When is the night? When should I stop? Until what time can I say Kriyas Shema in the morning? How come we daven Maariv just 15, 20 minutes ago when it's not dark outside? What happened here? And why don't we say Sefirat HaOmer, even though it's Maariv, even though that's going to be late? So there's many, many questions that we need an halachic clock for. And that's why Chazal or sages develop a special system called Sha'ot Zmaniyot. It's called relative hours. And this is basically, I'm not a mathematician. I don't know if you are, but try to follow me. It's not that, it's a little bit complicated, not that much. What it says, the system, is that you take all the hours that you have light outside, that the sun is out, from sunrise till sunset. You take the entire period of time that the sun is rising, is out, is shining out, and you divide it into 12 equal parts, 12 equal pieces. Now think about any consequence that can derive from that. If we are in the winter, then and we take all the hours of daylight, it's very, very short. For in our clock, it would be like 7 hours, 8 hours. That means that if we divide those 8 hours into 12 parts, every part is very small. It's less than our human hours, less than 60 minutes. But think about also in the summer. If we have 13, 14 hours of daylight outside, then, and I'm trying to take this entire 13 hours and divide it into 12, every section that I get is more than 60 hours. Around for now, we're an hour, and it's called a relative hour, every piece. The relative hour now is around 70 minutes also, almost. So it's like more than a regular hour. And you know that in the summer and in the winter, your clock is changing. Sometimes it's the hour will be smaller, sometimes the hour will be bigger, and it changes every day almost. This is what they had back then would be the best solution for trying to develop a kind of a clock, kind of a time system, and it's called the relative hours, Sha'ot Zmaniyot. And everything in Judaism is actually surrounding this specific system. Everything. When we come to shul, when we don't come to shul, when can we say Kriya Shema, when can we start Mari, when is Shabbat starting, when is Shabbat ending, when can I light up candles, when can I light up candles, when can I light up Hanukkah, the menorah on Hanukkah? When exactly can I do that? What is the earliest? What is the latest? All the halakhic system relies on this halakhic clock and not on a regular watch. That's why, first of all, you get 7:02. Because 7:02 is exactly when it's starting or ending the relative hour. We're not working by 7, 8, 9. If we try to translate the relative hour, to convert it into our own clocks, the human regular clock that we all use, then that's why we get 7:02. That's why we get 8:16. Because if we take the 76 minutes, for example, from 7, you're going to get all the way until, for example, 8:16. All right? This is how we do, in general, everything that is time-based in Judaism. Everything that is time-based in Judaism starts like that. More than that, I will tell you, because it's even more complicated. As you can see in source number... I told you, it's not going to be an easy class. In source number 9, we know that in Judaism, the day starts from night, not from the day. When God created, it says in the creation, the fifth pasuk of the Torah, in Bereshit 1:5, and there was evening, and there was morning, day one. We know that in Judaism, the day starts from the evening, not from the day. Shabbat starts from the evening. Tisha B'Av, Yom Kippur, we start fasting from the evening, not from the sun is rising. So the day starts then. Actually, the first prayer, supposed to be almost in many places, when you daven, when it's already dark outside, the first prayer of the day is not Shacharit. It's Mariv. It's Mariv, if it's dark outside. So you can already explain. So our sages built this kind of system, but they had trouble with it, because it was so difficult to try and decide when exactly you start counting the day, when do you stop counting. When do you say that the day started? When do you say that the day ended? Is it in sunset? Is it in dusk, twilight? Is it when it's totally dark outside? What is totally dark? One star, two stars, three stars, when there is moon. If I don't see the moon, what happened? When is night? And for years, for decades, for generations, the rabbis continued to argue all the way until today, when exactly the day starts, when does exactly the day end. So I want to introduce, not to talk about the entire thing, but I want to introduce a short discussion that is relevant for Shabbat, so we can know when do we light up candles. And this is a question of twilight. All right, twilight, or in the halakhic, in Hebrew, in the halakhic term, is called ben hashmashot. Ben hashmashot means between the shemesh. Shemesh is the sun. Between sun, since the sun rises and the sunset, or between, we know that the sun is almost there, but it's not there. It's what you call the beginning, or 1 minute after sunset, or 1 minute after dusk. We'll call it, or maybe that is dusk. I don't know exactly the English terms. I think we can call it twilight. In that sense, when it's a little bit ready outside, it's beautiful, but you don't really see the sun, but you see there's still light outside. We'll call it like that. How long does it take, and what is the halachic definition of such a thing? Look, please, on source... Wait, let's see if we finish everything that I want to talk about, because this is very important. Let's see in source number number 10. So in source number 10, the Gemara on Masechet Shabbos has a discussion. Twilight. Twilight is a period of uncertainty. First of all, the Gemara says, what is twilight? Is that a daylight? Is that a daytime? Is that a nighttime? Can I, when does Shabbat start? Before the twilight? After the twilight? It's time. It's a period of uncertainty. And what is the twilight? From when the sun sets, as long as the eastern face of the sky is reddened by the light of the sun. This is the statement of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda has a statement. What is the sunset? What is the twilight? Twilight is when the skies are reddened. Think about it. Not every time it's reddened, but this is what he has to say. There is a color. I would understand from that, halachically, a consequence, a ramification from this opinion means that twilight is, I would say, a lasting period. It's not so short. It takes time for the sun to start to become red until it slowly, slowly, slowly disappears and it becomes total dark. This is Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. We have a second opinion, Rabbi Nechemia. Rabbi Nechemia says the duration of the twilight period is the time it takes for a person to walk half a mile after the sun sets. Now, we're not going to dive into it, but the halacha, when it tries to say how long something takes, we have a system called Kdei Halicha. Kdei Halicha means how long does it take for an average human being to get from one point to another. This is how we count the time. We didn't have the timers, but it's the same system. It's kind of the same system as timers. You want to see how long it takes you to get from here to here, and this is the time that it's twilight. So he says 1 mil. How much is mil? We're not going to dive into it. It's also a discussion in the halacha. What is exactly mil? How much is the kilometer? Some say maybe it will be 1 kilometer. Some say it's 1 kilometer and 200 meters. It's very difficult, but that's what he says. Rabbi Yossi says, twilight, third opinion, twilight does not last for a quantifiable period of time. Rather, it is like the blink of an eye. This night enters, then that day leaves, and it is impossible to calculate it due to its brevity. So there are three opinions. One says it's a lasting kind of period, it takes time. One says, you can calculate it very quickly, how much for an average person it takes to get from that point to the other point. And the third opinion says, you cannot even start calculating it. It's like that. Twilight would be just 1 minute after the sunset. Once something that happens right away. Halachically, this has huge ramifications. For example, when do we daven mincha? When do we start Mariv? If Mariv, for example, if we want to follow the halacha that says that night starts only when the stars are out, that means that in the summer our Shabbos starts when? 9:30, 9:45, right? Something like that, it can start. We don't want Shabbos to start at 9:45. I mean, I would, but I don't have kids yet. So someone who has kids doesn't want the Shabbos to start at 9:45, which again, I don't really understand because here you work on Friday, so you want the Shabbos to be as late as possible. But anyhow, so in other words, we want to start Shabbat as early as possible. So can we follow the opinion that would say maybe night starts early? Maybe night starts right after this, like Rabbi Yossi would say, oh, it's so fast. The end of the day, this twilight time is so fast, right after that happens, that's night. We can start Shabbat from then. Maybe that will bring us more 40, 50 minutes beforehand. How do we actually calculate all of this, and what should we do from that? So first of all, I want to tell you, you can open again the picture on the last page. This is the Friday times of last week, so you can see the math, or which is the sources, behind the time that the shul sent in the weekly bulletin. The shul said, Mincha Mariv on Friday, last Friday, is 6:50. Why 6:50? What happened? Look, please, on your, on the timetable of times, what is the closest time that you can see here that is the closest to 6:50? Plag HaMincha. Thank you. There is an halakhic thing called Plag HaMincha. Plag HaMincha is a very interesting halakhic definition. In general, and I'm not going to give you too much information, you don't need to know, it's 1 1/4 hour, relative hour, before or sunset, or Tzeit HaKochavim, depending if you go by the Gra, or you go by the Gaon Mivilna, or you go by the Magen Avraham, which is another rabbi in the Shulchan Aruch. Most of the rabbis say you count 1 hour and 15 minutes relative, yeah, before the Kochavim. This is how we do also here in most of the shuls in Toronto. This is how we do also here in that shul. And you take 1 1/4 relative hour from the moment, from the time of Tzeit HaKochavim. You can see this is the nightfall is, three stars emerge, it's 9:23, less Shabbos. You take an hour and 15 minutes, and you get, no, I'm sorry, from Shkia you're doing here. You take from 8:33, you take an hour and 15 minutes, and you get around, or 12 minutes, whatever they're going to be, which is the Sha'ot Zmaniyot, the rational hours, and you're going to get to 7:02. How much exactly is 1 1/4 of a relative hour last week? I have no idea. I have no idea. It can be 75 minutes, 1 hour. So it can be 90 minutes in general. I don't know. You can make the calculation yourself. I'm not going to do it. But you can see that this is what the shul has done. And you can see that it says that earliest candle lighting is 7:02. This is exactly 7:02 that we said on plug. This time called plug, hamincha, which is exactly the time that we don't know if that is still afternoon or night. This is the time, the earliest time that we can start Shabbos from. And we count it, we calculate it by those relative hours, as well as the latest candle lighting. The latest candle lighting is 8:16. Look what happened in 8:16. Actually, it's 8:15:57. Thank you, Michael, for not giving us another 3 seconds of milliseconds of Shabbos. But in 8:15:57, this is candle lighting, which is 18 minutes before sunset. This is the latest we can light up the candles. So we have this gap of an hour and 14 minutes that we can actually start Shabbos earlier, because this is the time before sunset we go to plug a mincha. Now, I want to ask another question, and this is, why do we light up the candles 18 minutes before sunset? What is this? We know that if the day ends on sunset, then it ends on sunset. Why do we need to count 18 minutes before the sunset? So, please open. Any questions? By the way, I'm just talking. No, it's a little bit complicated. Any questions before we move on? Makes more sense now? Why is the hours like that on Shabbos?
Did you say it's relative before sunset or before nightfall?
So usually it's going to be before nightfall. That's a disagreement in halacha, whether we follow the Gaon Mivilna. The Gaon Mivilna would say this is sunset, or whether we follow the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham says it's from nightfall. Depends who we are going accordingly. You can see that they say also, according to the Gaon, to the Gra, here, you can see that they say the Gra Plaga Mincha is 7:02. They're not even giving the other opinion. They say Plaga Mincha by the Gra and by Baal HaTanya. Those are the two rabbis that agreed on this calculation. That's why there are people, for example, that finish Shabbos later than everyone. Why? Because there's something called Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam means you take 40 minutes over the time usually, and that's where they finish Shabbos later on than regular. Not only that, you know that in different cities, there's different time zones, there's different time for Shabbos, but also in Israel, where you would say that's not a large city, why would Tel Aviv and Petah Tikva, if you know what Petah Tikva is, right, 10 minutes, 15 minutes drive for Tel Aviv, why is Petah Tikva starting Shabbos 22 minutes, exactly 22 minutes earlier, every Shabbos 22 minutes earlier than Tel Aviv? Why? This is a system called Tosefet Shabbat, the addition to Shabbos. And this is a mitzvah that some of the rabbis say it's De'oraisa, it's from the Torah, not the Rabbanan, it's not from our sages. Some say this is a real Torah De'oraisa mitzvah that we should add from our weekday a little bit of Shabbos. We should.
In Jerusalem too, I think.
In Jerusalem, I'll talk about it in a minute, that's right. Jerusalem and Petah Tikva are the only two cities in Israel that are doing 40 minutes and not 18 or 30. We'll talk about it in a minute, but we have a mitzvah that says we should, for ourselves, just a couple of minutes before Shabbos, just grab a little bit more from Shabbos and start Shabbos earlier. Because that's how we see that we want the Shabbos to start already, and we cannot wait so much to start Shabbos, so we're starting it earlier than how it is. Now the question is, how much do we need to take from the regular weekday and then light up the candles? How much? So look please on source number 11. In source number 11, the Shulchan Aruch, Maran Rabbi Yosef Karo says as follows. There are those who say that we must add from the weekday, from the mundane to the holy, and the time of this addition is from the beginning of sunset until Ben Hashmaso, the twilight. We just saw the discussion, when is twilight? This period is equivalent to the time sufficient to walk 3 1/4 mil. This is approximately 60 minutes. Some say we need 60 minutes. No one is doing 60 minutes today. If one desires to deem the entire period of time It's Tosfos in Shabbos. We don't. It's Tosefet Shabbos. Sorry, the addition to Shabbos he made. If he wants to add less, he may. This is provided that one will add some amount of time when it is certainly day from the mundane to the holy. So that brought us to time after many, many books and rabbis afterward to discuss it, try to understand, so how much do I need to add? So there's different rabbis. For example, the rabbi of Tel Aviv, and we're talking when 1948 or 1950, the beginning when they really decided what's going to be, he decided we're following most of the Jewish world, and we are adding 18 minutes. Chai regaim, chai 18, that's something that we are... 18 is a very important and a very significant, meaningful number in Judaism. We will add 18 minutes before sunset, and that would be when we light up candles. There was a rabbi in Yerushalayim, and the rabbi Tvorsky, I think it was, Rabbi Tikhochinsky was his name, and Rabbi Tikhochinsky said, I am not agreeing with 18 minutes, I think we should add 40 minutes. Since then, Yerushalayim is probably the first city to start Shabbos in Israel, because they're starting 40 minutes earlier than sunset. That's accordingly. Rabbi of Petah Tikva, which has nothing to do with any holy city in Israel, said, if Yerushalayim is starting 40 minutes earlier, I want to follow Yerushalayim. I don't want to follow Tel Aviv. I want to take from the holiness of Yerushalayim. I want to be my city like Yerushalayim. That's why Petah Tikva and Yerushalayim are the only two cities in Israel that I know of that are starting Shabbos 40 minutes earlier prior to sunset. Now, sunset in Yerushalayim is a little bit different than sunset in Tel Aviv because it's higher, there's mountains. Not going to get into those calculations. But when you know when sunset is in Yerushalayim, you take 40 minutes before, that's when kind of lighting goes in Yerushalayim and in Petah Tikva. There is also an opinion in between, and the only place I know that is doing following so is Haifa. Haifa is doing 30 minutes. Why 30? I have no idea, but they're doing 30 minutes before sunset. The rest of the Jewish world in general will do 18 minutes. That's also how we do here in Toronto. 18 minutes before sunset. This is the latest time for candle lighting. Yes, the latest. Yeah.
In Jerusalem, there's a horn, a siren. Did they do that in other...
So they're in Yerushalayim, in the Haredi neighborhood, and there is a siren also in Bnei Brak, I think also in Beitar Elit. Basically, in the Haredi neighborhoods, yes, you're right, there is two sirens, actually. There's a siren, I think, 40 minutes before Shkia, and a siren around 20 minutes before Shkia, so people will know there is... Shabbos is coming. What? I when I heard the siren from my house in Givat Shmuel, because I hear the siren from neighbor, because we're very close, it was just a plain siren. Maybe in Yerushalayim there is places that have music. It's more
music first, and then...
Really?
Then
that's wonderful.
And then they have a siren.
As an Israeli, I prefer hearing sirens of Shabbos than hearing sirens of other stuff, I have to tell you. If we use the system for sirens for Shabbos, this is wonderful, and not for other things as well. So this is why 7:02 was the latest. 8:16. No, 7:02 was the latest time we could. No, I'm sorry, I am forgetting the times. Whatever that was the latest time in last Friday that we could light up, because that was 18 minutes before sunset. But we have the opportunity to accept Shabbat earlier, and this is from Plug. So that's why the shul decided here, we want to start Shabbat earlier. Many shuls also in Chutz La'aretz, here in Toronto, in America, they follow it when they have very late sunset. They say, I'm not going to do 18 minutes before Shabbos, I'm going to do it an hour and 15 relative hours before sunset. This brings us to Plug, and this is the earliest time you can accept Shabbos upon yourself, and this is the earliest time to light the candles. All right? We're all good with that. That's how we calculate lighting the candles. Also, when Shabbos ends, there's also discussions. We're not going to talk about it now, but it's also kind of the same thing. All right, we all talk about relative hours. This is how it goes regarding the timing of Shabbos. Any questions? Yeah, Barry.
So you're saying that you expect to light within just before sunset?
Yeah, if you want, 18 minutes before.
But why couldn't you add 1 minute before?
So originally, halakhically, you can. But it's good to follow as a little bit more. The question is, what would be a decent amount of time that you take from the weekday, from the mundane, and you say, this becomes holy? Taking 3 minutes is like saying, I have to do it, so I'm going to do it anyway. The question was, the halakhic question was, between the rabbis, what would be considered a decent amount of minutes that you can take from the mundane and you turn it to be holy? So the smallest amount would be 18, but there are halakhic opinions that say that if you can't or you forgot or whatever, you can do it until sunset itself. That's right.
Because you light the candles, but men still have that.
Thank you for asking that. Thank you. This is something we all need to know. Why? How come? We all know we have 20 minutes, 18 minutes, 40 minutes, I don't know what you have in your home, that men can, oh, we forgot to plug in the hot plate, you need to plug in the hot water, oh, take out the cake from the oven, whatever that is, it's always going to be after candlelight. That's how we do it. What is that system? So the men are not accepting Shabbos when their wives are lighting up the candles. We need to understand, we accept Shabbos at the end of Lech HaDodi. When we turn out and we say, boy b'shalom, boy kala, this is the moment we accept upon ourselves the Shabbos. That's why we have the time until sunset, whatever that is, 18 minutes if you live in Tel Aviv, in Yerushalayim you have 40 minutes, here in Toronto you have 18 minutes. That's why you have the time until sunset as a man where you can actually do things that are for the thing for the Seudah. I'm sorry for all those who light up candles. You accepted the Shabbos when you light up the candles. But there is also an halachic system for you, for those who light up candles, if they want to make something that is forbidden on Shabbos after they light up the candles, in the time between that and Shkia. And this is called lighting up the candles on a condition, b'tnai. That means, for example, if you are being hosted in someone's house, and you eat dinner in their house, and you're going to walk back afterwards, but they live very far, you want to go and daven with them, and you know that they're accepting Shabbos very early, for example, and you need to light up candles, then what you're doing, and you need to drive afterwards, you can light up candles at your own house. You say before the bracha, this is on a condition that I am going to take the car in the time where it's still not Shkia, on this specific time. I'm going to take the time and I'm going to drive with my husband to the place where I'm going to stay at, but I'm not going to do anything else that is not halachically forbidden. Usually, to apply this kind of system, which some rabbis don't really like, but that's a system that is valid, you usually gonna light up the candles more than 18 minutes. In other words, try to get as early as possible the lighting of the candles, then drive to wherever you are. Usually it's preferable also so you will not be the driver, rather your husband, because for him there's no problem to drive. Also it's preferable that he will be the one to open the car and open the door, so you're not going to be the one open the door and light up the lights in the car, which is also a problem. But you can do that. You can say on a condition that I'm going to drive, you're lighting up the candles with a bracha, everything is regular, you drive wherever you need to drive to, and then in Shkia regular, you're going to accept the Shabbos and going to start regular. That's a system that happens, and people do it. The rabbis discuss whether that's lechatchila, but yeah, but how exactly you do that? Today, most of the rabbis say you can do it in a place, in a manner when we need it. We need to drive for guests or whatever. That's something we could do, not something to be applied every Shabbos. This is a system that is available for us for this case. So this is Tosefet Zman, and this is how we start Shabbos very early here at Shul. Let's talk a little bit more about the candles. Candle lighting. We have 13 minutes. That's good. Let's talk a little bit more about the candle lightings. What? 18? Take 18. Oh, thank you, Rachel. You say it's relative hours. That's what I have. Maybe next time we'll do the class in relative hours. You can send the start class.
Could you say that again?
I'm not going to say that again. I'm sorry. If you didn't listen to the recording. Yeah, she's very informative, Siri. She likes the Chiddushei Torah. This is how it goes. Who is the mitzvah to light up candles? Why do we say that's a woman mitzvah? So originally, that's not a mitzvah for women. That's a mitzvah for everyone, also for men. For example, look what the Shulchan Aruch has to say in source number 15. He says, an individual man or an individual woman must have in their houses an ignited lamp on the Shabbos. Even if they have not what to eat, they must bake at doors and take oil and light the lamp because this is within the Shabbos enjoyment. Women are more responsible for it. Why? Since they are present in the home and engaged in the household needs. The only reason, the only real reason, there are many other reasons that were added afterwards, why women are the ones who light up the candles. We'll give some of them. But the original, really reason was that men went out or to yeshiva or to work. The women were those at home. They knew if there is oil, if there is candles, if there is all the equipment needed, and they were the one in charge of it. That was the first reason why women are the one who light up the candles. What happened since then? It became the reason to light up the candles. There are three reasons. Why do we light up candles on Shabbos? First reason is practical. Back then, they didn't have lamps, didn't have electricity. And for Shabbos, you didn't want to sit down around the table when it's dark. That's not for the holiness of Shabbos. That's not for the dignity of Shabbos. It's not for the kvod Shabbos. You want to eat around a table when there is light. You can see what you're eating. That's the first thing. Second reason why is for shlom bayit. Shlom bayit, when a house has no light, bad things can happen in the house. People can run into each other, someone can fall, they can be angry, they don't find what they want. When you have light, everything is calmer, everything is better. And that's why we also light up the candles on Shabbos. And the third reason is, so for some reason, it would be for the owning of the Shabbos. Having light in the house, getting ready for Shabbos, baking the goods that you can bake or cooking what you can cook, this is also counted as one of the owning for Shabbos. Those are three reasons why we have the candle on Shabbos. Some rabbis say later on, another reason why the woman precedes the man in lighting up the candle is because of shlom bayit. Because the woman is the one who, for some reason, I don't know, according to that, to their opinion, she's the one that is also in charge. She's the one that is in charge of shlom bayit. She's the one that is really, if she doesn't want shlom bayit in the house, there's not going to be shlom bayit. When I say shlom bayit, just to say, I'm regarding about good relations between the husband and the wife at the home. If she doesn't want it to be good, if she's angry, they're not going to be shlom bayit. If the husband is angry, there still can be shlom bayit. Sometimes, probably that's what they thought. That's why also woman precedes it. Also, another reason is a correction to, and the Mishnah Berurah gives it, is a correction to the sin of Eve, of Adam and Chava. Correction to the sin. You are the one that the Midrash says that to Eve, you are the one that, because of you, the man sinned, you are the one who's going to light up the candles now. So on and on. This is one thing regarding Shabbos. Another thing regarding the lamp of Shabbos is where do we put it? Where do we light up the candle? So originally the mitzvah was to have light in the house. So originally what they would do is light up one candle in every room so they would have light in the house. They will know where they're going to. Today when we have electricity in our homes or we have light from outside or whatever, or we don't want light in our bedroom, for example, we don't need to light up the candles in each room, but we do need to light the candles as close as possible to the dining table where we're going to have our seuda. Because this is, and you can see in source number, maybe we'll read it outside. You know what? You can see it afterwards if you want. In source number 17, and source number, only in 17, I think. Wait. In source number 18. Anyhow, I don't think I brought it. But it's supposed to be as close as possible to the dining table. So when you eat, you're gonna have the light. So some say that you need to turn off the light in your house before you light up the candle, so you will feel the power of the candle. Because when we have lights, then the candle is not really doing anything. But we're still doing it. And some say you need to close down the light in order to you can see the light of the candles. And even if we say that today we have electricity and lamps all around the house and we don't need the light of the candles, there is still the significance of the kavod of Shabbos, that Shabbos is dignified by the light of the candles, by the fire of the candles. This is something that is also for Shabbos. Another thing that is related to the candles of Shabbos halachically is how many candles are you lighting up? Six. Why three?
That's the candle.
Very good. Terry, two. Tina, two. What exactly is the halacha? So what are we doing? There's so many different minhagim. Halachically, we need to light up one. If we don't have candles, one candle is enough for a household of 12 people also. All right? That's accordingly. House of one. First, by the way, if there is no woman at the house, as we saw, the men must light up the candles. Must. That's a mitzvah that he's also obligated to. So if there's no woman in the house, the man needs to light up a candle. Now, how many candles? The original mitzvah would say only one. If it's too expensive, today, Baruch Hashem, it's not that expensive to buy. We don't need even a beautiful lamps, and we can have only one candle. Today, we say that at least two. Why at least two? One, I said it, and those of you who were in Mariv, I said it between Mincha Mariv. One for Zachor, one for Shamor. There is Zachor and Shamor. We just started at the beginning of the class. One for Zachor, one for Shamor. That way we have two. There's different opinions. One opinion says you need seven. Seven is symbolizing the 7 days of the week. Some say ten. Ten for the Ten Commandments. And some say, which is something that no one knows what the original minhag, but it's a beautiful minhag, to light up for every and each one of the members of the house. If you have four kids and your two husband and wife, you're going to light up six candles in that case. What is the origin of this minag? No, I can tell you. No one really, really knows. I think it's a different opinion. But it doesn't appear, for sure, it doesn't appear halachically in the halachic books. So you're being yotzei ydei chova with one candle, but it's preferable to light up two, at least two, in that sense, or three, if this is what you have on your lamp. Where do you light them? We said, when do you start lighting up the candles? We said, this is when you accept the Shabbos, or 18 minutes before Shkia, all the way until plug. That's the time that we have. All right, 18 all the way to plug. Plug, we said, an hour and 15 from the relative, relative hours from Tzeta Kochavim, from the when the star's out. Also, something that is important, we can finish with that, is what happens when in the family they forgot to light up candles. What happens if someone forgets to light up candles? The woman or the husband, whatever. First of all, if the woman forgets to light up candles and it's already sunset, it's been 18 minutes, it's already sunset, what can you do? No, there is something you can do. We get into from what time is it right after sunset? We saw it in the twilight. Thank you. Ben Hashmashot. There is an halachic discussion because we're not sure if Ben Hashmashot is night or day. There is an halachic ramification that you can ask from a Gentile to do a melacha from you. That means you can ask your goy neighbor, if you have someone like that, or someone goy in your area, he can light up for you the candle on Shabbos, and then you can take the bracha. All right? This is something that we can know. This is only in the twilight, but when it's Tera Kochavim, you can say him explicitly, please light me up the candle. If it's after Tera Kochavim, you can hint to him. What?
You say bracha.
No, he's not saying a bracha. No, the mitzvah is yours. He's just like shluch mitzvah. He's your hand for the mitzvah. No problem. But the mitzvah is on you. You can perform the mitzvah. If it's before sunset, you remind that before twilight, before sunset, and you didn't light up for the woman, or within 18 hours, usually it's preferable for the husband to light it up as close to the sunset as possible. Because the woman usually get the Shabbos 18 minutes or so before Shabbos. That's why it's usually, if it's very close to sunset, it's preferable to the husband also to do that. But what happens if they forget? There's no one, they didn't light up candles, she went to sleep, she had a headache, she forgot, she woke up, it's night outside. What can we do now? So, halachically, the Rama said something that is very interesting. The Rama said in source number, Rabbi Moshe Ishalis, in source number 20, said as followed. The woman, source number 20, the woman who one time forgets to light should light three candles for the rest of her days. In other words, if a woman forgets to light up a candle. Don't be nervous. If a woman forgets to light up candle on Shabbos, she woke up and it's dark outside already. She didn't know what happened. She forgot. It was a busy day. Originally, what the Rama is saying is that, according to Ashkenazim, it doesn't apply to Sephardim. For the Ashkenazim, she needs to add one more candle every Shabbos from now until the end of days. And if she forgets again one day, she needs to add another one. And if she forgets another one, maybe that's how the tradition with the household. So the woman, the people would not know how many times they forgot. They're just going to light up seven candles, and that's going to be it. This is according to what the Rama is saying. He's basing it upon the Maharil, another rabbi. I have to tell you that the Rama himself, when he wrote it down in another book of him, he wrote down that he also doesn't like this tradition, and he doesn't like this punishment or this ticket, we will say, for the woman to light up more. And he said, maybe we should not do it. And also, I will tell, halachically, halacha lemaise, you can see today in Pnei Halacha, Rabbi Melamed, that's a modern halachic book in source 21. Look what he says about this. If this only applies, that this punishment of lighting one more candle, this only applies if there was no light at all as a result of her omission. If there was electric light, even though she did not light it to honor Shabbat, since in fact they did not miss out on Onet Shabbos, there is Onet Shabbos because there is light in the room, then she is not obligated to add a candle every week for the rest of her life. She's not. All right, don't worry. Even though all of this, I found a very wonderful opinion that says, even though you forgot, there is something you can do. Don't do anything. What can you do? Which is, I think it's a wonderful, wonderful idea. It's brought by the Kaf HaChaim, another rabbi around 200, 300 years ago, I think. And he said in source number 22, instead of lighting an additional candle, it's better if the woman will donate a candle to someone who can't afford it. And I think this is a wonderful, a beautiful kind of thing. That, yeah, you don't need to light another one. That's fine. You have light and everything. It happens. We're human beings. But do something good in that sense, that it can be this kind of kapara on this thing. I will finish with two wonderful, I think, sources. The first source in Shabbos says that Rav Huna said from Masechet Shabbos, one who is accustomed to kindle lights on Shabbos, on Shabbat and Hanukkah, or not on Hanukkah, depends on what years are, but here it says with Hanukkah, will be rewarded and have children who are Torah scholars who will disseminate the light of Torah. What exactly is the relation between Torah scholars or not? That's the original, that they, I would say, the root of the minag for some of the women after, according to Ashkenazi minag, after the bracha on the candle to say what is called, what happened? Yeah, the Birkat Banim, but how it goes, forgot. Women can help you. There's the bracha for the boy.
Yeah,
exactly. Okay, so this is the reason is there is a connection between the light of Shabbos and having offspring in that sense. There is a connection of that. The Gemara connects it because you light up the light of the house, you're in charge of it, you light up the light of the world of Shabbos, then you, Bezrat Hashem, going to have offspring. The same boys, it can be also girls, that will light up the world with Torah, with Masim Tovim. That's another wonderful connection that they're doing. Yes, Ira?
Is there any reason why that is repeated in number 17 and 23? Except 17 is Mishnah
Brura. No, you have the same source? I don't have the same source.
It says Shabbat 23b. Yeah.
And
23 and 17 are the same.
Yeah, but not in Hebrew, just in English.
Oh, the English one, I'm sorry. The English one is the same. I'm sorry, you're right. The Hebrew one is different. The Hebrew one is different. Yeah, exactly. So this is the connection between that and lighting the candles. Also, a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing that we can finish with is Yalkut Shimoni, another midrash on Parshat Be'alot Chan, the candles. It says it's wonderful in verse number 24. The glory of Shabbat is its candles. If one observes the mitzvah of Shabbat candles, I will show you, says God, the candles of Tzion. I will not be necessary for you. It will not be necessary for you to use the light of the sun to see. Rather, I will provide illumination for you with my glory. In the future, the nations will walk by your light. Why do you deserve all of this? Because of the candles you light up for Shabbos. It's such a small mitzvah, but it's such an amazing, wonderful, beautiful mitzvah. So simple to perform. And I think one of the most beautiful mitzvahs we have in Judaism. So thank you for that. If you want to an extension a little bit more, can we light up candles, instead of candles, can we light up our lamps or electricity lamps at home? I brought here afterwards, there's an extension source. You can take a look afterwards if you want. That's all for this class. Thank you so much. I hope it wasn't too informative. I hope it was fine. And we will get back again on next Wednesday. And we will talk a little more about Kiddush, about the Seuda. We'll get along with the timeline of Shabbos. So thank you so much, and have a good night. Yeah, yes, Howard.
I can't remember.